Thank you, Brother Justice. And again, it's a blessing to be here this morning and appreciate the messages, appreciate good fellowship, good spirit that we've had. And I trust that these messages will be helpful to all of us and to broaden our thinking and to teach us the ways of God. Open your Bibles to Psalm 33. I want to read from the 33rd Psalm, verses 6 and 9. Here we read in the Word of God, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth." Verse 9 then says, "For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." Psalm 33, verses 6 and 9, among many other passages in the Bible, Old and New Testaments alike, but this passage is a commentary on Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and following. For example, compare in this text, in verse 9, Psalm 33, 9, the words "for He spake" with what God said in Genesis 1, 3, or with the words "and God said." God speaks, God says, and it is done. Now, unbelieving men, evolutionists, not science, but evolutionary thinking believes the earth evolved over millions of years. I still have to raise the question, if things are evolving, how could there have been years during those times when things were evolving? Because if it were evolving, it wasn't completed. How do they know anything about years? In other words, they take something from the completed creation and they use it to measure the evolving thing, and it is not consistent therein. There's nothing in the biblical record that indicates millions of years were needed for what God has done. We believe that the days of Genesis chapters 1 and 2 are 24-hour periods, and I will demonstrate that more in the course of the message this morning. But let me say that I personally do not believe it took God even 6 days of 24 hours to do what He did. In other words, God didn't need a specific time in order to do what He does. He speaks and it is done. So He spoke and it was done. Now let me say also here in the beginning that I, with others, as it has been stated, have a high regard for true science. We certainly benefit from true science. However, I do want to make plain that we do not confirm God's Word by science, but rather we confirm science by God's Word. We do not confirm science by archaeology. We confirm archaeology by God's Word. God cannot lie. What He says is true. He says it, and that settles it. Now, scientific theories are, of course, another matter. Whether it be the theory of evolution, or theistic evolution, or the Big Bang theory, all of those are theories. And they do not square with Scripture or really with the facts of science. And that too is known. As a matter of fact, the Big Bang theory, for that theory to work would require so much energy that that kind of energy cannot and does not exist in anyone but God. Right. And only God can create a world, a universe. Theories, of course, are always unproven. Now, they like to argue that evolution is not a theory. It is proven. It is not proven. And no one has observed one species becoming another species. These are always changing theories as well. Which theory of evolution is really the true theory of evolution today? And whichever one might be called the true theory today, by tomorrow it will have changed. I have a high regard for true science, but let me say that I have even a higher regard for the words of Scripture. And I believe I speak for all who are here. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That includes what we believe about creation. The words of Scripture are pure words. So says Psalm 12 and 6. And they are the truth. For our Lord Jesus prayed in John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In the 119th Psalm and the 160th verse, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. But this morning, I want to present to you this proposition, this truth. The Scriptures teach that God ended all His work which He had made at the end of the sixth day and rested on the seventh day from all His work. These statements we find in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And so we look at these 6 days, and we look at, and of course the seventh as well, but the days, as we consider how long did these things take. I'm going to show this morning that these are days of 24 hours approximately. Now you know that our days are, there's some seconds off of that, and that's why we have the 365 days of the year and so forth. But you understand we ordinarily say 24-hour days. So first, I want you to note that God called the cycle of light and darkness, referenced in Genesis chapter 1, He called that period day. Now I think there's something very significant here in the way that Scripture records what God called these periods. Let's note here in Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now we've had others present the fact that so many who are evolutionists believe the days of Genesis chapter 1 are periods of unspecified time or ages, not 24-hour periods. And I recognize that the word day, Yom in the Hebrew language, is sometimes used figuratively in Scripture for unspecified periods of time. Now, we would be foolish if we did not recognize that and acknowledge that. I do not believe that you teach truth in one area at the expense of truth in another area. So, we try to be consistent with Scripture. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9 says, Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And he mentions in the earlier part of this passage of Scripture about the day of the Lord, verse 10 it is, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. We're not going to say that in that passage the word day is necessarily referring to a 24-hour period. We do not need to do that, and we do not need to do that in order to maintain that the days of Genesis chapter 1 are 24-hour periods. But let me say this. No word can be used in its figurative sense until there has been established the use of the word in the literal sense or the natural sense. If you start first with a figurative word, then you throw everything out of balance. You have no standard by which to interpret anything. The word day in the book of Genesis starts out in the literal sense, as we're going to see by a number of methods this morning. But the figurative or the spiritual sense will make no sense at all until the literal or natural sense is understood. And as we understand that you do not take any word in any sense other than its literal sense unless that makes no sense. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 46 sets forth a principle that is followed in Scripture and it is consistently shown and exemplified in Scripture, and that is, howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. Afterward, that which is spiritual. Paul applies that principle to a specific thing here about the body in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, but it's a principle that has wide application. Now note here in Genesis 1:3 that God made light to shine by His word of command. In this particular sentence, let there be light. There's a special mode of the Hebrew language called the jesed. And it is that by which not only God has the imperative. The imperative mode is used when God gives a command to men what they are to do. But when He says in such cases like this, let there be light, when the making, the creating of the light is what He does, this particular jesed is used. And it is so used here. It is a creative fiat of the Lord God. Now, this is literal light. It's interesting to come to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6 and read an application of that with reference to what God has done in our hearts spiritually. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There has been spiritual light imparted unto us by that same creative fiat as was used in Genesis 1:3. God is light. 1 John 1:5 tells us, in Him is no darkness at all. And He has made the light to shine. Even as then God the Father sent God the Son into the world, who Himself is the light of the world. I am the light of the world. One of the things we're learning in the book of Genesis, we learn as we study, that it is the foundation and basis for everything else that is built throughout the rest of the Scriptures. Here in chapter Genesis 1:4, God saw the light, that it was good, just as He saw His own beloved Son and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." I note in verse 4 here of Genesis 1 that God divided the light from the darkness. God separated the two. God divided the light from the darkness. Does not that not teach us on a spiritual level, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 16, that we are to be separate as children of light from the children of darkness? What communion hath light with darkness? These things are set forth in Scripture for our benefit. But now in verse 5, I want you to note in particular that God called the light day and the darkness night. We know that. We still use that terminology. But now the interesting thing is that the entire period bound by evening or the darkness and the morning, which is light, the whole period is also called day. Not just the light portion of the day, but the whole day itself is called day as well. Now may I say that right here is where the length of the day or of a day in the book of Genesis is established. It is a period consisting of darkness or night and light or day. And yet we call that a 24-hour day. By the way, the sun does not determine the length of the day. God does. Because the sun is not so made to give light for the day until the fourth day. And there was no difference in the length of the day before the sun was made to rule the day than there was after the sun was made to rule the day. The same length of period, is there in either case. Otherwise, if that's not the case, then the very week of 7 days would lack uniformity. There would not be uniformity. The sun did not change the day. It was only given made to rule or have dominion over the light portion of the day. Now, secondly, I want you to see that God bounded the day with evening and morning. Chapter 1, verse 5, at the end of the first day, and the evening and the morning were the first day. All the way through chapter 1, you will see that statement made again and again. That the evening and the morning were the second day. The evening and the morning, the third day, so on. Both day and night, the words day and night, are used figuratively in Scripture at times. Yet, I find no passage in which either a figurative evening or a figurative morning is used to bound a figurative day or a figurative night. There is no figurative evening or morning attached when these words are used figuratively. And figuratively, day is used only of the light, not the darkness. Though literally here in Genesis chapter 1, the term day applied to the whole period. For example, in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 5, we read, "Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness." So, when it comes to the figurative use, it only applies to that which is light, not to the entire period. Each of the 6 days is said to begin when the evening began. That's interesting, isn't it? The Jews to this day count the day from 6 in the evening till 6 in the evening. And of course, in that scenario, you have the evening and the morning, just as it is in the Scripture. Now, why is it that way? Evening is mentioned first because it contains the night and darkness, which is then which denotes the order of natural things due to sin. We experience darkness before we do light. Think of that in our own spiritual lives. We experience darkness before we do light. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye the light in the Lord." Are ye light in the Lord? Walk as children of light. Now we're looking at the manward side of things when we look at it from this standpoint. And this design that God has given to us is designed to teach us spiritual truths. God does not reveal anything unto us just to satisfy our curiosity. He's not in the business of satisfying our curiosities. He reveals things in His words to teach us what He has purposed and what He is doing so that we may learn and know His will. Each of the 6 days is said also to include the morning. The day, then, is mentioned secondly because, again, it signifies the spiritual order of God. There is first the natural, then the spiritual. So we're learning here, as far as our experience is concerned, there is first in us the darkness of sin before there is the light of righteousness. Now, it's also interesting to see that the period which begins with darkness and ends with light, the evening and the morning, and yet there is still darkness in the whole period, as I've said, called the day. And is that not also the way it is in our spiritual experience? There is darkness in the day in which we live. However, the day is not all dark. I read in Psalm 112, verse 4, "Unto the upright There ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. Now, from a natural standpoint, the night is absolutely important for the refreshing of the plants. As the heat of the sun has beat down upon them through the day, it is so necessary. But it is also in our spiritual experience necessary that we have periods of darkness so that we may appreciate Him who is the light and seek Him who is the light. But these days did not differ from the day in which we are now living in Lee. They were the same kind of days. If language can be trusted, then all six of these days were approximately 24 hours long, as was the seventh day. And if these days were ages, then we have a real problem concerning plant life. Because the plant life would have long died, that the plant life that was created on the third day could not have existed through the ages of the fourth, fifth, and sixth days, and so on and so forth. It just cannot be. I want to point out, thirdly, that God numbered these days 1 through 7. Here in Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 5, all the way through chapter 2, verse 3, we have the days numbered 1, day 1, day 2, day 3, and so on and so forth. Now, I realize that the King James translation uses the ordinal, the first day, the second day, and so on and so forth. The Hebrew uses the cardinal. Day 1, day 2, day 3, and so on and so forth. The Hebrew word yom, that is translated day here in Genesis 1, is translated 1,181 times as day. It is translated 67 times as times. It is translated 30 times as today. It is translated 18 times as forever. 10 times as continually, 6 times as ages, 4 times as life, and 2 times as perpetually. Now again, I reiterate or I state that day is used figuratively for an indefinite period of time on occasion. I give you one of those occasions in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 20. In that day, a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats. That's an unspecified period of time. We understand that. And in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 3, it is used for time itself. Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. And in process of time, but the word there is yom, in the process of day. So the word is used in a broader sense, just there. In Numbers chapter 20 and verse 15, it is used for a long period of time. In fact, it's so translated in the King James. How our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time, or a long day. That is the kind of the way that the word is used. Here in chapter 2 of Genesis and verse 4, we have a summary statement. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord made the earth and the heavens. It is used here in a sense of a comprehensive or inclusive period. But let me make this statement with regard to the use of numbers with the days. When a definite cardinal or ordinal number accompanies the word yom or day, a 24-hour period is meant without exception. Without exception. There is a definite cardinal number with each of the days of creation. Day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4. God is telling us clearly and very plainly by marking it off and bounding it with evening and morning, by putting a number there. I don't know how He could have made it any clearer to people who would want to understand what it means. And those who believe it, and those that will not accept truth would not accept it if Jesus Christ stood here Himself and said that's what it was. But let me give you just briefly some examples. Other examples of the word day with a cardinal number, restricting it to 24 hours. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 6. Here we read, "And ye shall keep it up," that is the Passover lamb, "until the 14th day of the same month." Would anyone argue that he did not mean 14 literal days? Well, that would be absurd. How about again in Genesis 27 and verse 45? Remember that Jacob had stolen the birthright from Esau. And Esau was planning to kill Jacob. And so Rebekah wants Jacob sent away to save him from being killed and murdered by Esau. And so she says in the 27th chapter, the 45th verse of Genesis, "I'm weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth." If Jacob, 45, I'm reading the wrong verse. She says, "Send him away until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day?" Same construction that is used here. I give you one other example. I won't give you ones for every number of the day, but these will suffice, I think. 2 Samuel chapter 1, that is, and verse 1. "Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag." Same construction. Now let me give you some examples of the word day with an ordinal number, limiting it to 24 hours. Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 7. "In the first day," first is an ordinal, "in the first day ye shall have an holy convocation." Exodus chapter 2 and verse 13, in reference to the second day. Here we read, "And when he went out the second day," that's Moses, remember, he had slain an Egyptian. He goes out the next day, when he went out the second day. And then Genesis 22:4, and I'll not even turn to that. Abraham is directed to take his son, his only son Isaac, to a mountain where the Lord would show him. And on the third day, he lifted up his eyes and he saw the place. These are the ways numbers are used with days in the Scripture. Let me conclude this, or bring it toward the end, by showing finally, God sanctified the seventh day. Again, to Genesis chapter 2. And we want to note verse 3, this statement of Scripture. "And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made." Now here is an obvious statement to anyone who is considering and is open to truth objectively. What the first 6 days were in length, so the seventh was. The seventh had to be the same kind of day as the sixth. If the first 6 days were ages, then we're faced with a real problem regarding the seventh day, because it would also have to be an age rather than to being a solar day of approximately 24 hours. Or otherwise, the Sabbath has no significance whatsoever. When the Sabbath was instituted in the law, now it had been practiced before being instituted in the law, for we read in 16 of Exodus, the 16th chapter, and we look at verses 22 through 31, concerning when manna was given, the Lord gave instruction that they were to go out and pick up the manna 6 days, but on the seventh day there would be no manna, because there was a practicing of the Sabbath before it was instituted in the law. Then in chapter 20 of Exodus, verses 8 through 11, we read these words, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. It is a day, 24 hours. It must be. If it were a period, I'll tell you, after not doing some work for a period of days, you really get in trouble. That would not work at all. It has to be that the Sabbath is a 24-hour period. And if it is that, then it means that the other 6 days must be 24 hours. You see, to be consistent, if you believe in evolution, and one believes in evolution, theistic evolution, or any of those things, then he's going to have to believe that the seventh day is as much a geological period as the other 6 days were. Now, where would we be now if that were the case? Would we be in that seventh period of rest? Would that be where we would be in human history and so on and so forth? Yet Jesus said in John 4:34, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." I don't think we're in a period of, spiritually speaking, where we would be in a seventh period that's prolonged. Well, I close by saying God did not need 6 days to make the heaven and the earth, much less thousands or millions of years. He didn't need that. He spoke. And it was done. Psalm 33:9. He used 6 literal days to establish a pattern and to order, and he established a pattern and order for man whom he had commanded to work 6 days. I think some people forget that statement. 6 days shalt thou work. Just as important as we work 6 days as to rest 7 if we follow the Word of God. He rested on the seventh day, by the way, not because he was tired. But he rested to teach man to do the same, thus marking the week. And incidentally, this measure of time is still used to this very day by all people, including evolutionists. No such pattern, though, could thus be given to man if the days of Genesis 1 had been geological ages. You'd have no pattern. You would have nothing of the order that we have. Thus we believe the 7 days of Genesis 1 and 2 were and had to have been literal periods of 24 hours.
Amen.
Brother Justice.